Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Welcome, welcome, radio listeners, to another episode of Discussions with Delia. And it's really timely that on Friday, President Obama chose to speak on the Trayvon Martin situation, considering we had a brief discussion about that on Wednesday's show. So it was really timely that President Obama chose to talk about Trayvon Martin, because this week's show is a continuation of last week's show. Last week we spoke about fear, and this week we continue with the idea of overcoming fear. So I'm looking forward to a lively discussion, and I want to welcome again my wonderful co-host, my husband, Raymond.
Hello, everyone.
It was really kind of timely that President Obama chose to talk about Trayvon Martin last Friday. What did you think? What stood out for me was when he likened himself, or a son that he might have had, to Trayvon Martin. But he talks about fear in the context of the black man being feared. He talked about women clutching their purses and holding their breath in elevators, or being followed in the store. Or he talked about hearing the car doors clicking as he walked by, or as black men walked by. And that's about fear. That's about the fear of the black man. So what do you think?
I agree. In terms of the fear of African-American men that society has is real. You know, and as an article that I read talked about, you know, having that talk because it's with your son about what to expect, and those type of interactions where the first time someone crosses the street when they see you walking, or the first time you're followed in a mall, or, you know, the door is clicking, or the elevator where they get off if you get on, to have that conversation up front so that it's not a surprise, because as President Obama pointed out, when he experienced it and generations before him experienced it, and Trayvon Martin or today's African American youth experience it, it's there. You know, in his speech he says we are improving. However, that type of fear of African American men is there. It's real, and they experience it every day,
yeah,
in some way, shape, or form. So it's a matter of how do they deal with it, and how do they interact and live their life, you know, as best they possibly can, knowing that the only reason why these things are happening is because of the color of my skin.
Right. I mean, it's been very apparent, like very stark over the last couple of weeks, to hear mothers of sons talk about their experiences and talk about their fears. And you see it all on social media. You see it in, you know, personal interactions. You just see it where mothers are just more afraid, it seems, than ever before, based on this verdict. And I don't know, what particularly this verdict triggered that was so frightening for mothers of sons. But this verdict just seems to have triggered a significant amount of fear. And I think in the children as well, in the boys and men as well, that has just triggered a lot of fear. And I'm wondering, what about this verdict provoke so much fear.
I think it's the idea that, okay, a young African American fellow was killed, and the person who killed him got off. They were able to use the law and be found not guilty. So every young man and every mother and every parent and so on will have that fear. There is a possibility that my son could be killed because of the color of his skin. Okay. However, the judicial system is in such a way that that person who killed him has a high possibility, high probability of being found innocent.
Yeah.
And I think that it's like the chances of, as President Obama said, you know, Trayvon Martin, probability says he would have been more likely be killed by his peer as opposed to the circumstances under which he died. So a black man being killed has a high probability. A young black man being killed has a high probability already. So when someone kills him and then gets away with it or is found innocent based on the law, that is even more frightening.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing about it is, and, you know, I had this discussion with Kenya, with my daughter, and the case was decided based on the evidence that was presented.
Yeah.
So the jury made a decision based on the evidence that was presented, and we disagree with that, and it goes against everything that we believe. But they made a decision based on what was presented to them, and they could consider nothing else.
Agreed.
So maybe the presentation of the case was flawed, or the laws in Florida certainly need to be reconsidered. But the jury itself has not done anything wrong in finding him not guilty,
right?
Because that was the evidence that was presented to them.
Right.
So, you know, then it just kind of begs the question of how do we deal with fear? How do we deal with this fear that seems to be so pervasive right now? And what, you know, what's an effective approach to dealing with fear, you know?
But the fear, when you say the fear that is pervasive, what do you think that fear is? Just undefined fear, fear of, you know, your son being, having a similar experience to Trayvon Martin being, you know, in that context, you mean? And how do we deal with the fear of your son leaving the house? And the possibilities of encounters that he might have in that context, you mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's for many mothers, this fear is about what could happen to my son or what could happen to the young black men in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wonder about, you know, why, and I guess maybe it has something to do with the media and the amount of media this has gotten and the emotional triggers that has been, you know, that this has caused, but it's just generated, this case has just generated a lot of fear about what could happen to young black men.
Yeah.
But a part of me thinks, like, it's not unusual. Like, this case has gotten a lot of media attention.
Right.
But there are so many incidents like this.
Right. I mean,
and there's so many incidents that have preceded this that have not generated the same, perhaps the same level of media attention, and so necessarily the same level of fear. Because
right.
It seemed like the fear and the media attention may be related in some way.
Right. I think parents, and especially mothers, I mean, I've heard the stories personally, I've seen it in the media. You know, each time there's an event where someone is shot, you know, you hear parents being interviewed. That is why I don't let my son play outside after 8, or that is why I go with him whenever he goes to the store. So I think that fear is lived every minute of every day. As you said, the media attention given to this has now heightened the fear, but I think the fear was always there, will always be there. And the media attention around this, and now with the verdict, and now President Obama adds to the consciousness of this event, what happened, and things that mothers and parents were always fearful of, and it kind of have a multiplying effect where people are now obviously protesting and saying something and having a voice. So there's a rallying cry around it. So therefore, there's more of attention being given to it. But I think the fear was always there.
So it's a fear of what? It's a fear of your son being killed?
Yes.
It's a fear of the laws being unjust,
yes,
towards people of color?
Yes.
It's a fear of what?
My son being exposed to prejudice. If I can minimize that exposure, then I'll do my best. He has to go to school. He has to go to church. He has to go to these places. But if I can keep him... And then there's also the fear of, I don't want him to join the gang. I don't want him to be exposed to the crackhead outside. I don't want him to be exposed to these prostitutes outside. So therefore, there are a lot of fears. There are a lot of fears. You know, by proximity of where you live, the environment where you live, who your neighbors are, the type of activities that are in your neighborhood. Are you fearful that they might be killed based on them going outside?
Mm. And I guess maybe, I mean, with the Trayvon Martin situation, that he was in his community.
Right.
And
he was walking home.
Yeah, and it's a nice community by all accounts. And then he gets killed by someone who's fearful,
right,
that a person of color represents danger.
Right.
Yeah. So you know, brings us to the question of how do we deal with fear? How do people choose to deal with fear? Clearly, Zimmerman was afraid of Trayvon Martin and what he represented, and he chose to go aggressively towards or to deal aggressively with that fear.
But why did you think? Okay. Do you think that Trayvon Martin represented fear because of the color of his skin?
Yeah, I think so.
So that if it was just another young man, 17 years old, Caucasian, he would not have felt the same fear?
No, because, you know, I saw something on Facebook where a young white man had on a hoodie and he had a sign that said, Zimmerman would have offered me a ride home.
Right.
And because the experience would have been different. What he perceived,
right,
and what he would have thought and felt, and how he would have behaved, again, with the thoughts, feelings, and behavior and action. What he would have thought when seeing a white young person in a hoodie walking home was that he must belong here, and it's raining, so let me see what I can do to help.
Right.
But instead, when he saw Trayvon Martin, he had another thought. Oh, he does not belong here. He represents danger, and these people are always causing trouble.
And they get away with it.
Right.
Right. I agree.
So, you know, so those thoughts that he generated came from a place of fear.
Right.
Of seeing Trayvon Martin as a dangerous person.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So, but how do people choose to deal with fear? What are some of the approaches that people... How people choose to deal with fear.
You mean, but I think there are two different ways. I mean, people of color, how they deal with fear and the approach, because they are the feared.
I don't think fear, I think, you know, I'm going to submit that I think fear is colorblind.
Okay.
Right? That fear, when you're experiencing it, well, no matter your color, when you're experiencing fear, your response is colorblind. So, for example, people choose to live with fear. And that's what I think as a community that we do and we have done. A community of color chooses to live with the fear and you adapt certain ways. So you coach your sons on how to behave when the police stop you. Or you coach them on how to, you know, navigate the community, depending on where you live,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you live with fear and adapt your behaviors,
mm-hmm,
based on how much fear you have. If you fear that your sons are going to be killed, yeah, you're going to say, I saw somebody else on Facebook say, you know, telling your son that you can't walk out there with that whatever handkerchief or whatever it is around your neck or around your head because you're going to be, you know, profiled.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to adapt how to live with the fear. And it's like any fear. So it's not just about violence. It's about anything else. Learning to, how do you adapt to live with a fear? We talked last week about fear in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you choose to live with that fear? If going to work generates a headache, for example, you may just get used to popping, you know, painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, doing something else to deal with that fear. But choosing to live with fear is one option.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you can hide or avoid fear. Hide from or avoid fear. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like almost put yourself in denial about fear.
But then that becomes the crippling part. I mean, I think in some way I'll beg to differ in terms of in this context. I mean, I think it's...
In which context?
In the context of fear being colorblind, where we're saying, well, you know, he was, Trayvon Martin was treated the way he was because the Zimmerman saw him as a threat, and there was fear. I mean, I'm sure there was fear on Trayvon Martin's part as well, where here you have
somebody
a grown man following me.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. But it would have happened if it was a black man following him.
I agree with you. But again, the fact that if he was killed by a black man, it wouldn't have been because of race. And I think he would have been killed.
The discussion is about fear.
I understand. I do understand. But, you know, you talk about what the perversive fear that we feel now based on the verdict, based on what happened in Florida, based on President Obama. All those things are tying ourselves to a mother or a father or parents being worried about young black men being out there and being exposed, because it is going to be seen as a racial issue for African Americans. It is a black or white thing.
It is, but fear itself is not, because there are, you hear about incidents, or I do, where black men are followed or beaten or killed by other black men.
You're right.
And there's fear of going in the streets because somebody's going to hurt you.
Right.
Or going to this place because somebody's got a hit out on you.
Right.
So that fear has no color.
Right, but I don't think that's the type of fear that you want to overcome. I mean, you're...
No,
You're faced with a situation, then therefore you will react. Whether it's a dog, you know, attacking
you. But how do
you
deal with that fear? How do you choose to deal with that fear? If you know, for example, that there's a hit out on you, that somebody's out to get you.
Okay.
How do you choose to live with that fear? How do you choose to deal with it? Do you hide? Do you avoid? Do you aggress? You know, what do you do? How do you choose to live with that fear?
I think that varies, again.
And that's what we're talking about.
How
do you choose to deal with it? So that's why I'm going down the list to say, some people choose to live with it in some ways.
Right.
Some people try to hide or avoid it.
Right.
Right? And then some people kind of succumb to it. It's kind of like, well, I don't care what happens.
But then that one person could deal with the different levels of fear in different ways.
How so?
In terms of, because not all the fears are the same. For example, let's make this up then. You know, the person who is fearful of the boss at work might confront the guy who another fear in a more, you know, trying to resolve it
But that's what I'm saying. So
it would
depend on the situation.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. So you can choose to deal with whatever the situation is, in any kind of different ways.
Right.
But what are the ways that you can respond to fear is what we're dealing with.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about, right?
Okay.
What are the different ways that you can respond to fear? Not that if there's any particular one way to respond to fear.
I agree.
But what are the different ways that you can choose to deal with or respond to fear?
Right. But I agree. I mean, like you said, you can succumb to it, you can confront it, and so on. But I think there are some that are more life-changing.
Some fears?
No. How you react to it.
Okay.
How you choose to, those that you are more fearful of and probably become more crippled by, you know, the impact that it has on your life.
Okay, so that brings us to the case where you can succumb to the fear, or become disabled by it.
I agree.
And hampered in such a way that it changes you physically or physiologically or psychologically.
Long
right?
term.
Yeah. So fear can have this lasting impact on your life and manifest itself in really significant ways.
Right.
You know, depending on how you choose to manage fear in your life and how you choose to think about it.
Right.
Right? Am I going to live with it? Am I going to, you know, to be crippled by it? You know? I mean, how do I think about it? You know? So, I mean, fear in itself and how you choose to deal with the fear can have really significant impact on the quality of your life.
I agree.
Whether it's in a violent situation or it's in a work situation or it's in a relationship situation, whatever the situation is, how you choose to deal with the fear that you're facing and battling in your life can have really significant impact on your mental and physical well-being.
Agreed. But, and again, everything, I guess it, circumstances prevail. Some, obviously, some fear are in a moment. You know, someone jumps out from behind a wall at you, that's in that moment where you're dealing with that fear. Whatever that resolution is, you run away or the person runs away, then that's that. You going to work every day in fear of losing your job, you going to work every day in fear of the boss and how they treat you, you living at home in a fearful situation or your child having a bully at school, that's a whole other world.
It is.
You know, where that's fear and another story. So again,
but again, you can choose to apply any of the approaches.
Yes.
Right? You can confront, you can choose to live with it and kind of try to navigate, you know, developing alliances or developing resources or utilizing resources to help if it's, say, a bully at school. Right? You might have a friend or you might, you know, choose to go on an adult or you might solicit help from your parents. You can choose to deal with that fear in different ways.
Right.
Or you can choose to avoid it. Or you can get sick every morning when it's time to go to school.
Right.
Right? So it's the particular fear may differ.
Right.
It's the approach and how we think about the fear that I want us to kind of focus on. How do you deal with fear? How does fear manifest itself in your life, and how do you choose to deal with it?
I think probably one of it is being, you know, breaking it down to that and saying, well, okay, something is going on here. How have I been dealing with it, and how has that helped me to manage it? You know, all the options that you just mentioned, am I okay with that, knowing how I really, truly feel? Am I okay with the fact that I just go to work, hide in my corner, work as quickly as I can, don't go to lunch and get out early because I just don't want to be there and deal with the fear? Is that, and I think that's where it becomes where you have to be open and honest with yourself and saying, well, maybe it's not the best approach. How better could I deal with it?
Right. So then let's bring it back to like the parents
okay.
who are struggling with this fear for their sons.
Okay.
Right. How do you choose to deal with that fear? Are you going to internalize that fear? I see a lot of people are engaging in this conversation about what's going on with Trayvon Martin.
Right.
Other people are driven to activism.
Right.
To say, okay, not another child, not another boy.
Right.
Some people are going to become helicopter parents.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't want my son to become that statistic. So
right.
therefore, I have to know where he is every minute of every day.
Right.
And so, you know, then, you know, so it's the different approach to dealing with that fear. And what does that mean for the relationship between you and your son if you become a helicopter parent? What does that mean for, you know, the long-term impact on policy and laws if you choose to become an activist?
Right.
You know, what does it mean if you choose to share and to just talk about how you're really feeling and kind of get in touch with it? So that you're not internalizing it and you're not seeing it manifested in other relationships because you are crippled by this fear. So
yeah.
kind of owning it
yeah.
and recognizing that you have it, I think, is a really important thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think talking about it with your children, not just your sons, your daughters, you know, your family, just talking it out with loved ones and people who are in your life and getting their perspective as well. In terms of how they see it, because a 12-year-old or a 16-year-old boy might not necessarily see it as you see it as a parent. So discussing and hearing it from their perspective and their counterparts in terms of how best to deal with it, you're right. you know, making sure that you're not just talking about it, but you're talking about it with solutions in mind, because that fear is real.
It is real.
So tomorrow morning, son, you know,
when that happens.
Exactly.
How do you respond when the police stops you?
Exactly.
How do you respond if God forbid you're being followed by someone that you don't know, like Trayvon Martin was?
Right.
How do you respond in that moment?
Right.
And I think having that discussion in an open, you know, and it's difficult, but in an unemotional way.
Right.
Because if we become so emotionally and just respond emotionally to it,
right,
then how are we helping to prepare our children, right? And are we just passing on and perpetuating the fear?
Right. So we're passing on our fear and probably elevating their fear as well. So you're right, in terms of having the conversation with ANSA, you know, giving them, and again, it goes back to, you know, the talk. 2013, you know, these situations are going to happen. There's a high possibility if you're driving a car, you're going to be pulled over by the police. You know, rather than asking him over and over again why you did this, you know, here's how you deal with the situation. Because you can only control you. And the fact that you are the color you are, the fact that you looked at the way you look like, might be reasons a lot of times why you are pulled over or why the things happen to you that they do.
Right.
But,
right,
you know, you yourself have to have composure, be respectful, abide by the law, and you know, react in such a way that you best protect yourself.
Right. And I think this is one scenario, situation that warrants practice, role playing with your sons to say,
that's
so
true,
when the cops stop you,
that's
okay,
true,
what are you going to say when they ask you this? What are you going to say when they ask you that? I think that kind of preparation is helpful.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's some parents probably who this situation, and I think that's probably what's driving some of the fear, is that there may be some parents who never really thought about it in that way. You know, in many sheltered communities where children of color,
mm-hmm,
you know, don't, you know, are not so much aware of themselves as an endangered species, then that this kind of drove the point home,
mm-hmm,
that this, you know, relatively good boy, because, you know, I mean, he wasn't doing anything bad. They tried to blow up the fact that he was smoking marijuana, but President Obama smoked marijuana. And so, you know, saying that this relatively good boy in a relatively nice neighborhood going home to his parents, because he belonged in that place, could be killed under those circumstances, kind of, I think, blew the cover off the fact that you can be safe in these pretty decent, pretty nice neighborhoods. It kind of, you know, put that...
took the shade down.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think encouraging parents, others, all of us, you know, to have that conversation on a wider level and to really try to impact positively the life of a young person, understanding that we can't protect you because we can't be with you all the time, but you can be prepared in your response. You can be prepared in how you think about, because if, you know, fear of police is real.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm driving in my car and the police pull up behind me and my heart skips a beat and I haven't done anything wrong.
Right.
So, you know, I think, you know, having that conversation and encouraging that is really important.
It has to be ongoing, not mm-hmm. just now, but just continuous. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think that this is an important conversation to have. I thank you all for listening to us today, and join us next week for another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia. I want to invite you to follow us on Twitter @with Delia M. Until next week, I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to me today. Be sure to follow me on Twitter @withDeliaM. And be sure to like our Facebook page at Discussions with Delia. Tune in next week for another exciting show. and men.